All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Adam Bull here with you on CBS Sports Radio. And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Another big week of college football. This one may be the biggest. A lot of matchups of ranked teams, including big games in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Joining us now to talk about all of it, Dan Wolkin, USA Today. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing really well, Dan. And let's start with the big game in the Big Ten. But before we get to the game, you know, there was an interesting moment this week where, you know, obviously at Penn State, they do, you know, their whiteout thing at night where they all wear white, and it's just a pretty impressive atmosphere. And Ohio State put out a tweet about silencing the whiteout, if you will. And obviously that created a stir. A lot of people were angry about that, showing a lack of sensitivity. What did you think about that whole hubbub this week?
Well, I just think you always, in any walk of life, you're best served reading the room. And Ohio State really doesn't read the room very well. And look, there's nothing inherently terrible about that meme or whatever you want to call what they posted. And I understand it is about football and about going on the road. But when you post an image that basically all it says is silence, given what you just came out of over the last month, like, you just aren't reading the room very well.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Dan, because I agree with you. I think a little much was made of it, although, and you know, I'm someone who, even though I work in Cleveland, I thought Urban Meyer should have been fired, and, you know, took a lot of flack from fans for that, of course, because fans, you know, want to keep their guy, and I get it. But I, you know, the bottom line is, you know, a lot of fans want to just move on and talk football, and I get that. I understand that. However, I'm never going to look at Urban Meyer the same way, and I don't know that I'll ever, even though, again, I thought too much was made about the tweet, I still think I'll never kind of fully get over it, because every time I hear Urban Meyer talk, every time they play a big game, I think it pops back up into my mind.
Well, look, at some point, you know, you have to move past the news. There is a football game that's being played. The truth of the matter is that the players on the field, this controversy and any past controversies really have nothing to do with them.
That's right.
The institutions and the problems that have befell each place are obviously going to be associated with those schools for a long time. But the game's going to be the game. And, you know, I don't think we should penalize the players necessarily for the fact that some adults have been not very smart and not lived up to their responsibilities.
Couldn't agree with you more. And let's do that. Let's talk about the game. Ohio State is both teams are 4-0. Somebody said to me yesterday, well, if Ohio State loses this game, that's it. They can't win in the playoffs. I said, well, didn't that happen before? I mean, they lost to Penn State and still went to the playoff in the past. Obviously, it's a huge game. I don't know if it's a season ender for either team necessarily. And Penn State still got Wisconsin, Michigan State. Ohio State avoids Wisconsin this year, but they still have Michigan and Michigan State. Do you think it's a season ender for the losing team? And who do you think is going to win?
No, I mean, it's not a season ender. There's going to be a lot that goes on over the last 2 months of the season. I mean, if anything has been learned from the first 4 years of the playoff, is that a loss, even a loss late in the season, does not disqualify you from getting in. It's obviously the loser is in a tougher position in terms of winning the Big Ten, and winning the Big Ten may be necessary, but there's so many different things that are going to happen, and injuries potentially. I think the loser is not out of it by any stretch. The winner is obviously in really good shape, especially if it's Penn State. I think, you know, to have that win over Ohio State head to head, I think for Penn State would mean that they could maybe afford a loss and still find their way to Indianapolis.
Who do you like in the game?
You know, the thing I worry about with Penn State is just if they're going to be able to get enough stops. When you look at Ohio State's offense, they've been a freight train. just up and down the field. And Dwayne Haskins, his ability to pass the ball has just given them such a – just unlocked so many more of their talented skill players. And Penn State's defense is young. It's struggled a little bit early in the season at times. I just wonder if they're going to be able to get stops. But, of course, a game like this can turn on turnovers. And, you know, I think if Penn State gets two or three turnovers, that could change the complexion of things.
Unfortunately, the two best games of the day are both at exactly the same time, Ohio State, Penn State, and Stanford, Notre Dame. If you could only watch one game, which would you watch of the two?
Well, you know, I think it's a good night to either go to a sports bar or if you're lucky enough to have multiple screens at home, that maybe you can just kind of go equal time. They're both going to be good. And, you know, I'm interested to see Stanford coming off the loss at Oregon and coming off the win at Oregon that should have been a loss. You got gifted one that maybe you didn't deserve if you're Stanford, and then you got to go back and fly again across country. And I think that's a tough spot for them to get back up and play a game at Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame's rejuvenated a little bit after the quarterback change, and they looked good last week. I'm not sure if that was said more about them or about Wake Forest, which fired their defensive coordinator, but, you know, 50-something points was a big statement.
Has Notre Dame lost their cachet as a program? I mean, I know they're still a popular team nationally, but it feels like to me they're certainly not what they once were. Have they been lessened as a program?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they're still, I think, one of the premier, you know, most polarizing, biggest fan bases in all of college football. And you know, they play a nationally relevant schedule and rank teams every year, and they're always on TV. So, you know, it's hard to win national championships. Only a few programs really are capable of doing it. Notre Dame's had some teams in the last 5 years that were pretty good, maybe a little bit unlucky. You know, they had a couple chances and injuries got them, or you know, whatever it may be. They haven't had things go their way to actually finish off one of those special seasons. But you know, I still think they're relevant. They still recruit very well. I don't think that their cachet's necessarily been lessened much.
Dan Wolkin with us, USA Today. Dan, am I nuts to think that Syracuse can cover a 25-point spread against Clemson?
Well, I mean, look, that was a game last year that Syracuse kind of won out of nowhere. No one really saw that coming, and Clemson kind of seemed half catatonic that night. They just weren't into it, and Syracuse took advantage. I think it'll be different on a Saturday at home, you know, a little bit of a revenge factor. But, you know, Syracuse has played really well. Like, you look at their first few games, and it's hard to poke holes in them. You know, Eric Dungy's a very difficult quarterback to get a read on because of his ability to run the ball, and he's tough. And, you know, the only thing that really slows him down is sometimes injury. And so, you know, Syracuse is a capable team, and you know, if they were to keep it within a couple scores, it wouldn't be a surprise to anybody.
And, you know, Kelly Bryant, that whole situation with him leaving the team, I mean, you think that factors in at all?
No. I think the only factor that has on Clemson season is if Trevor Lawrence gets injured. If he stays healthy, he's by far the better quarterback.
Right.
And that was obvious over the first few games, and he was getting better by the day, by the week, taking control of that offense, and they just seem to operate so much more comfortably when he's in there. So I don't think it impacts them, unless Trevor Lawrence gets hurt and they have to go to a very unknown, untested backup quarterback, as opposed to Kelly Bryant, who's, you know, been in big games before and has a great record as a starter.
Yeah, it's weird to say Kentucky has a big game, but they do have a big game against South Carolina. Kentucky hasn't won more than 7 games since 2007. They haven't finished the year in the AP top 25 since 1984. In fact, they've only been in the top 25 at any point once since 1984. Are they a real thing? Are you buying Kentucky as at least a good football team?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're a good football team. I don't think they're constructed in a way that you know, puts them among the best in the country. They still don't really have a passing game. They are surviving on their defense and their ability to run the ball. At some point, people are going to, you know, figure them out a little bit. And, you know, I will be interested to see how they respond emotionally. They won the game against Mississippi State that a lot of people didn't expect them to win. They did it handily. They started to get national attention and praise for the first time in a while. And now you've got to turn around and face a South Carolina team that everyone had picked second in that division going into the season. And frankly, you know, outside of a game against Georgia, which I think everyone's going to lose to Georgia pretty much this year, they've been good. So I'm interested to see this game. I think South Carolina's got a great shot to win. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on the emotional response Kentucky has, if they let down or if they come out with a chip on their shoulder. So,
you know, one of the more impressive starts to the season, obviously LSU at 4-0 plays Ole Miss today. They've beaten Miami. They've beaten Auburn. They weren't as highly thought of coming into the season. Now they're ranked fifth. Obviously they still have a tough schedule with Georgia coming up, with Alabama, Mississippi State. How good do you think this LSU team is?
Well, I think they've maybe gone from being underrated to being overrated in the first month. If you look at the statistics, the metrics, their offense is not good. They're in the bottom fourth of the SEC in both rushing and passing. They're winning games on field position, special teams, hidden yards, and big plays at the right time. Frankly, they remind me a little bit of Miami last year.
Okay.
And I think maybe that they're the kind of team that's going to run off to a big record early, and then they face Mississippi State, Georgia, and Alabama all consecutively. And I think they will crash back to earth. I don't think they are as good as their record or their ranking, because I just don't think offensively they're going to be a threat to the elite teams. And, you know, I think Ole Miss will have a chance to give them a little bit of a scare today. Sometimes you have one of those years you just keep winning despite what the numbers say. And for right now, that's what LSU is.
Is Alabama clearly the best team in college football, or Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and, say, Ohio State? Is it a group of four, or to you, is it just a group of one with Alabama?
Well, as of right now, based on what we've seen, I think it's a group of one, and then those other teams lurking behind. Now, that may change, and teams are going to get better. And look, Clemson, now that they've settled on their quarterback, I think has the potential to reach a much higher ceiling by the end of the season. So that may change, but for right now, I think it'd be hard to poke holes in anything Alabama's done.
Dan, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
You got it. Thanks.